take a deep breath, take the higher road. That's what they always say, as if they know the way. They won't take it from me. But don't ever doubt yourself, it's life ain't just a dream. You make your own, so kick and scream. The people move alike with a never-ending force. You never had the chance, so what you waiting for? The day has come, my friend, cause this is war.
Promoting informed consent is essential, and public health campaigns and education should be pivotal in this endeavor. However, there is a noticeable reluctance among both medical professionals and these campaigns to transparently share crucial information, including adverse events related to the vaccines they advocate for universal adoption. Fortunately, there now exists a valuable resource to empower individuals in navigating the frequently skewed and one-sided narratives presented by governmental agencies. You're listening to Nurses Out Loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio. I'm your host, Nurse Kimberly Overton. Before we get started today, I do want to encourage our listeners, if you have questions or comments, or perhaps you want to share your own experiences with what you're seeing on the front lines of healthcare, you can now submit those to us by sending them directly to nurses@americaoutloud.com. We will be featuring your questions and comments every Tuesday on a special Q&A episode with the nurses. We encourage all of you to engage in the battle and find your voice in this fight. But until you are able to do that, we will continue to be that voice for you. Joining me today is Chris Downey, the visionary behind VaxCalc Labs. He is renowned for establishing the first business that regards vaccine hesitancy, not just as a right, but as a mark of intelligence and wisdom. His approach to health freedom through VaxCalc empowers individuals to make well-informed vaccination decisions. This platform reflects his deep commitment to fostering scientific understanding and respect for personal health choices. In addition to his groundbreaking work with VaxCalc, Chris is advancing the field of AI through 80/20 AI consulting. His expertise in large language models is revolutionizing the way standalone chatbots are developed, intertwining his dedication to health freedom with cutting-edge AI technology. This consultancy is pioneering in teaching software teams to leverage AI for enhanced business solutions, ranging from open source LLM components to advanced prompt engineering. Chris's journey from a self-taught software developer to an innovator in both health freedom and AI technology is a testament to his relentless pursuit of progress and empowerment. His work in informed consent technology, especially the development of an LLM-powered chatbot that aligns with the principles of freedom and the Nuremberg Code, is setting new standards in both healthcare and tech industries. Chris, thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm excited to learn about, I got your information from my good friend, Kevin Tuttle over at Spirit PR. So kudos to Kevin, who sends me the most incredible guests. But I saw your bio and I was like, well, this is very interesting, you know, with AI making, it's becoming very, very prevalent in our society. And I've actually had full-on conversations with AI. I will call them arguments with AI about vaccine safety. So I'm really interested to learn, you know, what inspired you to create VaxCalc Labs and to take this unique approach to addressing vaccine hesitancy.
Oh, well, thank you so much. You know, before jumping into that, I'm going to just step back and look at a big picture here. You know, I love what you're doing with your organization, with Remnant Healthcare. And there's a lot of similarities. Like I hear in your vision, you say, you know, there's no one size fits all scenario in healthcare. And that's a real driving factor for me and for VaxCalc. And an example of that would be, my daughter at 12 months had a extreme reaction to just a tiny little bit of peanut butter. And yet the pediatricians still wanted her to do the full CDC vaccine schedule. And I recall, you know, I would ask them, I said, well, do you have any evidence that it's safe to continue doing that? I mean, after all, her immune system is already dangerously overreactive to something that is not, does not present a threat, really, right? It's a food item that people eat, and yet her immune system is just goes ballistic. And so you want to keep ramping it up artificially with the vaccine. So what is the short-term and long-term effects of that on her? And all they could say is, well, you know, it's, you know, we believe it to be safe. There's millions of people taking vaccines. It's safe. It's like, well, do you have any data? Do you have anything to show me that I could actually feel good about it and know from evidence that it's safe? And they didn't. No one, but they wanted to continue vaccinating her. And that just, you know, I went from thinking, you know, I could trust our doctor, who is a really good person. He's, you know, they're wonderful people. They want to help children. And yet I felt like, no, in this area, I cannot trust him at all. You know, I don't know where he's coming from or why he thinks this is a good idea. So that's really what got me initially going into VaxCalc and into the informed consent arena.
Yeah, they don't ever have any good answers because, to be completely honest with you, they really don't know.
That's right.
You know, nurses, I say this often, nurses, the only education that we receive in nursing school about vaccines is safe, effective, and necessary. That's all we get. And doctors receive little more than that.
Yeah.
Very, very few physicians do their own independent research, and the system, the way that it's designed, really doesn't allow them to. You know, they are having to see patients probably every 5 to 7 minutes. Mm. If you're in some kind of a corporate, especially if you're in a corporate healthcare setting, it's about every 5 to 7 minutes you're seeing patients, and you know, either constantly tasking with more and less with less resources. So there's no time for anybody to do this independent research, but people are under the false impression that these doctors are very knowledgeable in this area. And the sad truth is that they are not. They are just relying on the information that comes from the CDC, the FDA, all of these captured three-letter agencies.
Yep.
And so it's really sad. And I'm really trying to get my message out there and let people know that, you know, you have to do your own independent research. So necessary.
Absolutely. And so that's what I started doing, that independent research. And I spent a lot of time, you know, looking under all the rocks I could find. I volunteered with NVIC for about 10 or 11 years, created some interesting projects for them, like a but what we call the tweet machine, a good number of years ago. And this was back in like Twitter version one, when, you know, when they first started, they were free speech. And then of course they switched and now they're back to free speech with Elon Musk again. But VaxCalc really, you know, the big purpose of it is to, well, there's a couple, but the thing I really wanted to do was to pour into it everything I ever learned and did, so that parents wouldn't have to recreate that from scratch, because it's really, really, really difficult. You know, most people, you just don't have the time to learn everything you need to learn, and reading those package inserts is really incredibly difficult. And that's actually a good use of AI. Like, one way we use AI is to run the package inserts through AI and have it simplify it in really easy to understand language and just pull out relevant parts. So there's just a lot of good stuff that you can do with it. And earlier you had said how, you know, you had arguments about vaccines with, you know, maybe was it ChatGPT?
No, it was Writer.
Okay. Interesting. And it started, what did it say? Just insisting.
Yeah. So it says, you know, that vaccine injury is very rare and it's hardly ever happens. And I'm arguing and I'm going back and forth and I'm, you know, I'm like, well, can you show me the data? Like, just like you were saying, what you were asking the doctors, can you show me the data? I said, well, can you point to the studies? Can you show me the data? Like, well, we're not really equipped to do that. We're a language model. And I'm like, okay, well then why? I said, so are you just making stuff up? I'm like, now I'm questioning my own sanity because I'm sitting here having a conversation with AI.
Yeah. So you reached the, you know, that point where it just goes into an endless loop where it keeps repeating its assertions. And, you know, I'll tell you why it does this. If you, an LLM, you could think of that, the large language model, as like the entire open internet. It's as a single big book, a massive book that contains it all. And the chatbot AI driven chatbot is really good at rapidly finding anything in that book. Now, it doesn't treat everything in that book equally, though. Okay, so the creators had to give different weights to different information sources. So, for example, the US government agencies like CDC or FDA are going to be at the very top of what they consider to be sources of truth. And that's why you're getting those kind of arguments, and also why it can't give you any answers, because it's, in a way, it's really just doing what the CDC website is doing. It just insists. You know, it's sort of like the PR version of their website.
Yeah.
And so what we need to do is, what VaxTalk is doing with AI is, have you heard of open source software, or have any familiarity? I'm
not familiar with it. I've heard the words, what it means. I have not. I'm not the tech person, so I have no, yeah. I have no idea.
So yeah, I'll go into just a little bit for you in the audience. So open source is a really beautiful thing. It's software that's created not because someone is paid to do it, but because they're passionate about it. You know, a developer or a small group of them, they want something, but it doesn't exist or it costs too much. So they'll create the software themselves, and it'll be stored in a place where other open source software is stored, and people can come and check it out, like other developers can make use of it. And they can contribute back to it, which then makes it better. So like everything that I've built with for VaxCalc, it's all open source. And there's a lot of good things about that. For one, no central entity controls it. So, you know, it's not like I'm licensing Microsoft, they find out what I'm doing, and then they want to shut me off. So it's really great, and it's decentralized. So if a open source project becomes popular, hundreds or thousands of developers from around the world have copies of it on their own machines, as well as the central repository where they push back their updates. So these tend to be passion projects, or projects, you know, that come from love, and some of them will just take off. And the best ones, the best projects, are run like a meritocracy. So the code is actually really quite good. And that's why something like ChatGPT can write really quite good code, because it's been trained on all the open source projects. And that code tends to be better than corporate code. And there are open source projects for LLMs. So you can download an open source LLM, disconnect from the internet and run it. And then, so no one's monitoring your conversation with it. It's not being recorded or kept or stored anywhere. And so I can take an uncensored LLM, which is great, meaning that they didn't apply the moderation or safety features. And an example of moderation or safety feature would be asking a question about, hey, how can I avoid the vaccines I don't want? Well, a lot of the corporate LLMs won't give you an answer. Instead, they'll give you a lecture. I can't provide you with that information. Vaccines are really important. You should go talk to your doctor. You know, all that unhelpful stuff. Yeah. So what I'm doing is we're taking an open source LLM and we're training it. You're training the bias out of it. And what I mean by that is even the open source ones, they have to come from somewhere, and they are originally created from the open internet and given that similar kind of weighting, where, like, for example, CDC would be seen as a very really close to the top source of truth for health, which of course we know is false.
Yeah.
And so we start training it with our own questions and our own data, so it has more and more knowledge about vaccine risk. And it can also, we can create a knowledge base of all kinds of documents and websites that it can ingest and learn from. And so it will become smarter and smarter about vaccine risk and can give really good answers. It can also run over private databases. Like, we have a database of vaccines and ingredients. It can add up all the ingredients for you. It can tell you research on those ingredients that's not easily found. I mean, all kinds of incredible stuff. And you can also tell it the tone in which to chat with people. So it can keep like a compassionate, supportive, pro-freedom tone.
What I've kind of noticed though, like, is that I think, and I asked this question of people, I was like, is it trainable? Because the more I would argue with it, it started to concede that, yeah, well, maybe there is, you know, some credence to what you're saying. Maybe vaccine injury is more prevalent than we know. So it started to kind of make some concessions. So I was like, well, is it trainable?
It is, and there's been some really interesting studies. Just in the last couple of months, a paper came out of Microsoft that showed if you put emotion into what they call the prompts, or what you're saying to the chatbot, like put real strong emotion, you will tend to get a better answer. And so if you put emotion into insisting that, you know, this is real and you need to give me better vaccine risk information, it will start to, like you said, concede and believe, well, not believe because it's not alive, but it will behave in such a way that, yeah, you know, it actually has a responsibility to give you more of what you're asking.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, is you have to, just like with anything else, you've got to push back. It's interesting. I will use it sometimes to help me with like a topic I'm going to be doing on the show. And recently I interviewed the founder of Moms for America, Kimberly Fletcher. And we were having a discussion about the gender issues that are just exploding in this country. And we were talking about, I can't remember exactly what I asked it, but it refused to give me anything on this topic. They were like, we're sorry, we can't give you any information on this topic at all. This is a sensitive topic and we can't. And I just pushed back and I was like, this is absolute insanity. And I was like, you have got to, be able to talk about things that maybe you don't agree with. And again, I'm talking to a robot, but
yeah.
So I really feel like I felt like an idiot. But
it's been trained on, you know, there's a lot of writing on the internet on, there'll be emotional writing and advice on how to get what you want and advice on how to respond to upset people. So it's also learned from that. And so you're probably causing it to go kind of deeper into those archives and figure out what should it really do.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and that's what I kept saying. I was like, listen, we've got to be able to have civil discourse. And that means that we're going to have to consider dissenting opinions and dissenting viewpoints. So it's been interesting to have these arguments. I will say that with AI, I keep on pushing back just like I do in real life with everybody. So
that's fantastic. And, you know, there's a number of ways to do that. And you know, another one would be saying things like, well, just for the sake of argument, if blah, 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 what, you know, what then? If you make it sort of like it's not speaking the truth, but it's just for the sake of argument, it tends to open up more. And it'll go into those.
Yeah, that's true in life. That's true when you're dealing with humans, you know. And that's my approach always, is like I get frustrated a lot, but a lot of times I just like to ask thought-provoking questions to people. And, you know, I think if people are hungry for information, then you want to, you know, give them a sip of water. If they're thirsty, give them a sip of water. Don't hit them with the fire hose type of a thing. So I just like ask these thought-provoking questions, and it makes them hopefully engage their critical thinking. I have the one question that I ask all of the time. You know, I'm an ICU nurse. I worked through the pandemic and they kept telling us everybody was dying of COVID. And I ask all the time, I said, if that were the case, why weren't we pulling bodies from homes? Why weren't we pulling bodies off of the streets? We weren't.
Interesting.
People were only dying in the hospitals, and they were dying of the treatment, the protocols that they were using. And nobody thinks about that. But when you ask a thought-provoking question, it engages their critical thinking. And most people have responded positively to that.
From your experience with those protocols, why do you think that protocols were set in the first place?
You know, that was my bigger question. You know, I had this question about remdesivir, which is what we were typically using in the hospitals, even though it was completely ineffective as an antiviral. It didn't have, by the time these patients got to us, the virus was dead. It's a respiratory virus, dead in 5 days. So no viral replication was occurring. So I kept asking that question, you know, why do we continue to use this medication that is clearly doing more harm than good? But my bigger question was, why is the government financially incentivizing its use? And at first I thought, wow, this is stupid. And then I started to realize that it maybe had a more nefarious, it was maybe a more nefarious thing that was going on. I don't know. I have not found a nice way to say that they're systematically murdering patients for profit, but that's what's happening.
Wow. Now, do you think it's still going on?
It is still going on. I know for a fact it's still going on. Yeah. They're still giving remdesivir. They're still pushing for early intubation of patients, you know, wow, that are in distress, but they're doing it. You know, you get on the ventilator, they get, I believe it's $39,000. If they get more financial incentivization, if they are keeping these patients on the ventilator for 96 hours or more. So yeah, that is still occurring. There's definitely a bounty on somebody's head. And I encourage people not to go into the hospitals, not to test, because when you do that, you get the bounty on your head. And, you know, from there, it's remdesivir, ventilator, death.
You know, I saw, I was looking around in remnant nursing and remnant healthcare, and yeah, there's all those different interesting packages people can get. And I think that is incredibly important. You know, a lot of people contact VaxCal looking for example, vaccine choice friendly doctors, and they don't know who to go to. Like, for example, if there's a, if they suspect a vaccine injury, their doctors aren't going to be helpful at all. And I noticed you had a package related to that. Can you yeah, share a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So we decided, because listen, people have been so injured, not just by these vaccines, you know, if we're going back, and people have been injured for decades and they get gaslit. They're all but abandoned by their medical community. Nobody is serving them. So I was really passionate, a passion of mine when I started Remnant. We just recently rebranded to Remnant Healthcare, but we started as Remnant Nursing. And my passion, I did this because I wanted to specialize in caring for these vaccine injured, because nobody else was. And I you know, we brought in practitioners, we brought in nurses, we're bringing in nurse practitioners, physician assistants. We're starting to bring in physicians who are, you know, getting to the root cause. Everybody is trained in functional medicine. So we're looking and taking that root cause approach to treat these people. And, you know, vaccine injuries is very varied. There are some, you know, obviously that are worse than others. Right. And, you know, what works for one person may not work for another. Healthcare in injury in itself is very individualized, and treatment is very individualized.
I mean, I talk to so many parents. I mean, even more now since COVID. I mean, our email influx has probably gone up by 3 or 4 times, and a lot of these are young parents, mostly moms, who they have more than one child, and in the past they've not really questioned vaccines, and their older children are fully vaccinated or close to it, but they don't really want to do that anymore. I mean, at most maybe a small number, but they are very suspicious. You know, they don't know who to trust, except they know they really can't trust what they're hearing about vaccines from their doctor or from, you know, public health officials or the government. But what you're offering here is incredibly valuable. And maybe afterwards we can talk about a way of working a little together on that, because I know a lot of parents that need this kind of information and to know something like this exists, because they don't know how to recognize injury, vaccine injury. And right, they're certainly not going to get help from their doctors.
Oh,
and
not at all.
And one thing that I've been building for a number of years, like, so VaxCalc offers three things, you know, curated research on vaccines and their ingredients, including, you know, adding up the total amount that their doctor is recommending, which is also really important to do. Helps them find a vaccine choice friendly doctor, which is really difficult and not always successful. So we try to build up a list, a network of them. But, you know, its dynamic is changing all the time and not in a good direction. The doctors are, you know, more and more scared, and even ones that used to be supportive of at least some choice really no longer are. They might want to be, but they're too scared. They're intimidated about losing their license. And the other thing we provide too is a free for everyone. You know, whenever someone joins the email list, within 8 hours they get an invite to a supportive vaccine choice community, which is never censored. It's not going away. I have it backed up like crazy, and it's, you know, if it gets taken down in one place, it's going to pop up somewhere else, you know, just good as new. And that's, as we saw during COVID, having a community is really important, because what they try to do is not only pump you full of fear so that you'll comply, but they shame and isolate people. And when people are isolated, they will give in. They will do things that they don't want to do.
Yeah. And that's what I really love about what we're doing. And we, you know, in addition to our concierge nursing services that we also offer advocacy. So, you know, we give people all of the information. We're providing information, education, but we also advocate for them. So we will virtually go to doctor's appointments. We have nurses that will physically go in some areas to an appointment and accompany you. Because like you said, it's very difficult to find vaccine-friendly physicians out there. The best you can do typically is a DPC practice and going to that direct care model. But even some of them are still very allopathically trained and very still kind of on board with the CDC. So you've got to be cautious when you're choosing a DPC provider as well. I think some people have the illusion that because they're outside of the traditional system, that they're very like-minded, and that isn't always the case. So I think, you know, using some discernment and doing your research, and that's kind of where we try to come in and fill that gap to advocate on someone's behalf when we need to, because we understand the complexities of this system. Many of our nurses have been in 10, 20, 30 years even. So yeah, we know how to talk to these people. We understand the complexities, and nobody is going to bully an ICU nurse. I can tell you that right now.
Oh, I have no doubt. I know a couple. About strong and courageous. But this is a phenomenal idea. I had no clue that anything like this existed.
Yeah, it didn't until it did. So it was, I started, you know, Nurse Freedom Network. I started my 501c3. I started that back in July of 2021. Mm-hmm. And I did that to take a stand against the vaccine mandates that were coming down. And it hadn't hit my facility yet, but I saw, you know, my friends and my colleagues being fired for, you know, this. It was so ridiculous. It should have been a personal medical decision from the get-go. It should always be a personal medical decision. Right. So I started that, you know, we started just protesting at local hospitals and that were firing their nurses. And, you know, it quickly evolved from there. We had nurses that were building advocacy states. I think we got up to about 26 states that were doing that and protesting at these hospitals. But beyond that advocacy portion of it, I just realized that my larger vision for Nurse Freedom Network was to be able to create opportunities for nurses and other healthcare workers to be able to break away from this broken and oppressive system. It's been broken long before COVID. This just really opened so many eyes to what's been happening. But yeah, it's so, you know, I had this vision for true patient-centered care and being able to provide this information, the education and the advocacy. Because listen, if you don't have all of the information, you don't have a choice, right?
They never
provided any of these parents with information. They give you that little what you need to know sheet, and that is
so watered down, it's close to useless.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
You know, like what you're saying, when they have the information, you know, oftentimes that isn't really good enough, because they still have to, you know, a parent still has to advocate for their child with that doctor. And doctors are trained by CDC in and this is not exaggerating, okay, predatory techniques.
Yeah.
And in a predatory technique, you know, according to Gavin DeBecker, and you know Gavin DeBecker, he's the guy providing RFK Jr. with security right now. He's one of the top violence and security experts on the planet. And he has a phenomenal book called The Gift of Fear and another one called Protecting the Gift. And Protecting the Gift is about protecting your children from predators. And every parent ought to have that book, regardless of the age of your kids. But one thing he talks about in there is, what kind of language is that? It's presumptive language. And that's what predators use. It's like, it's a violation of boundaries. It's like if I, you know, we don't really know each other. And let's say we're in the same room in a store or something. And I just come and I talk to you in such a way that doesn't respect your boundaries. And I tell you, look, here's what we're going to do. Or I'll watch your child for you. You go ahead and you can go to the bathroom. And that's a form of presumptive language. I'm presuming that you actually want me to do that. I didn't really ask permission. And it puts people in it's harder to say no, because you have to push someone out of your space, out of your boundaries. And one of the things the CDC teaches doctors to do is actually to use presumptive language to come in. And you've probably seen this a lot, right?
Yeah.
To come in to the room, waiting room, where the mom is with her baby, and oh, good, you know, good morning, Mrs. Smith. So today we're going to do our well visit, and after the checkup, I'll be vaccinating Jenny with blah 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 blah. And that's presumptive language. It makes it harder for the mom to say no, and a doctor is taught to do that. And it's psychologically known that it gets significantly greater compliance because he's not asking permission.
Exactly. Nobody's coming in and asking and saying, well, these are the options that, you know, this is what they recommend. Do you want to go ahead and do that? You're exactly right. That isn't what happens. Everybody just, you know, presumes and assumes that, that everybody would want to vaccinate their child. And that can be, you know, and I have to say, you know, I was pro-vaccine my entire life and nursing career. I'm not militantly so, but I had been vaccinated. My child had all of his vaccines. I'm really of the very strong belief now that we're all vaccine injured to some degree, and we just never connected the dots. Like if you think about all of the autoimmune conditions, all of these chronic infections, and the food allergies, like you were alluded to with your daughter, same thing. All of these things, like something is causing them, right? Something is causing them, and I believe strongly now that it is the vaccines. But to that point, I was part of the problem just 4 years ago when I am encouraging parents to vaccinate their children, you know, because that is all I never realized, Chris. I never realized that these tests weren't being done, I thought there were really vigorous studies being done. That wasn't my realm, but I just assumed, again, we can't do that. Those who were charged with these, you know, that they were doing their due diligence.
Right.
And they're not. And
I mean, I had a hard time with that too. Like when I first became a parent, I would have been either a full vaccinator or really close to it. Thank God, okay, this happened, but the only thing that switched me was when we went around interviewing pediatricians, I kept hearing about the hepatitis B birth dose. And so I was like, well, why would we do that? All right, that's the thing that didn't make any sense to me. It's like, why would that?
Day one of life.
Yeah, day one of life.
They're not booting heroin.
No, exactly. I mean, there's zero risk of this anytime for years. Okay. And, you know, but they still insisted on it. And they would say things like, well, it's recommended for a reason. I said, well, give me the reasons. Okay. I'm asking you. They would say things like, well, if she's bitten daycare, you know, it would protect her. It's like, well, she's not going to daycare. So, bip, give me another reason. And, you know, we just kept going down the line. And I felt like I was being lied to.
You were. They don't like when you ask questions. I can tell you that right now, because most parents, unfortunately, a real good educated parent likely knows much more than the doctor or the nurse on these topics. I can certainly tell you that.
Yes.
We're up against a hard break, but I'm going to go ahead and we'll come back and we'll dig into this great conversation again. America Out Loud Talk Radio plays on the iHeartRadio network. You can also listen on our media player from any web browser, anywhere in the world. We have the best in-class apps available on Apple, Android, or Alexa, 24/7. Great talk radio. All of our shows go to podcast the following day. You can hear them on apps such as Spotify, Stitcher, iHeart Podcast, and many more. Be sure to subscribe and rate the show on Apple Podcasts for me. Don't forget to check out our online store at americaoutloud.shop, where you can find all of the products that we represent on our network at a discounted rate, including ASEA Redox, which I can personally speak to seeing fantastic results with, including better sleep, increased energy, improved mood, and a decrease in my joint pain. Use promo code OUTLOUD to save 15% off your purchase. I'll catch you on the other side of this break. Stay with us.
It's time and this is why.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit healright.com/outloud or americaoutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
ASEA believes that inside each of us is the potential to feel our very best. Our redox-based products tap into reserves within you to power your personal well-being. Make our breakthrough products an essential step in fulfilling your greatest potential. ASEA, we power potential. For exclusive savings, use code OUTLOUD to save 15% off your first order today.
Millions of Americans are needlessly suffering from the long-haul effects of the toxic spike protein. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company designed their spike support formula to counteract harmful spike protein from COVID-19 and vaccines so you can feel your best. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order.
When God, through His grace and mercy, gave us free will, the will of the people was to live freely. To that end, we fight for the liberty of all at a time when global tyranny threatens us as never before in mankind's history. This vision is manifest at AmericaOutloud.news, a site for all who cherish free will and freedom. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back to Nurses Out Loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio. I'm your host, Nurse Kimberly Overton. Wherever you're listening from today and whatever you're doing, I thank you for giving me the gift of your time. Be sure to make AmericaOutloud.news your daily stop for all the latest news and happenings. We all must do our part and share the stories, the articles, the podcasts, and videos so we can help secure America's future. If you're just joining us, I've been talking with founder of VaxCalc, Chris Downey. Let's jump right back in. Chris, thanks again for being here.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you for having me. This is a phenomenal experience and excellent discussion. I wanted to ask you, one of the things I talk about with VaxCalc customers and subscribers is the concept of a healthcare roundtable. Because I, for years now, I've believed that the idea of a primary care physician, you know, one person who's supposed to be responsible for everything, is a really big mistake.
Absolutely.
Yes, because and if you look at the most successful people, they don't have just one person in some area that's responsible for everything. So instead, yeah, over the years, I've formed my own healthcare roundtable where, you know, I have a homeopath, a vaccine choice friendly MD who's just wonderful, a Chinese medicine doctor who's also a PhD trained in China. I mean, the guy's absolutely fantastic. We have a dentist that is opposed to mercury and fluoride and has testified before Congress regarding both. And it's just so important to have a number of different professionals with different backgrounds. Oh, and it's right. We also know an MD who was trained in Africa. And I find that people who are trained outside of the United States have very different approach to medicine. He is not a fan of big pharma at all. He's very suspicious, and I value that. And it looks like you're providing a similar kind of service, because when I was looking at Remnant Healthcare, you know, I see there are nurses, an autism specialist, functional medicine, a midwife, homeopathy, and also advocates. And that's like it's like healthcare roundtable in a box.
Yeah, exactly. And it's really something that I'm very passionate about, because, you know, and I say this all the time, and it's a little bit more difficult with allopathically trained MDs. But, you know, we've got to find a way to bring the doctors and the nurses together, because that's how we get the best possible outcomes for our patients. But also we want to, and that's why we are rebranding to from Remnant Nursing to Remnant Healthcare. We've always been welcoming of these other disciplines, but we wanted to make that more, obvious to the public, because we want people to know that there's a place for you here. We want to get all of these like-minded, you know, we don't have to agree on everything all of the time, but I think that when we have this diverse array of healthcare professionals, we are going to come together and we're going to have some incredible outcomes for our clients. And we've had so much success so far. So our business model is very unique. You know, on the one side, we have all of these services that we offer to our clients. But we also offer educational and entrepreneurial opportunities for healthcare workers, again, who are just ready to break away from this system. We have a very affordable buy-in to we're a private membership association. So we're completely outside of the public domain. And the reason we chose that structure was because we assume eventually that they are going to come after our licensure. And the PMA structure is developed in such a way that it would protect us and allow us to have that, to practice our profession in essence under that PMA, because it is just our constitutionally guaranteed right to private contract. Wow. So we're allowing these healthcare practitioners to come in, and most of them are, the nurses are very allopathically trained at first, but we offer them the education through the functional medicine course that we collaborate with. Melissa Schreibfetter, who's an incredible nurse, and she's the founder of Functional Nurse Academy. And she trains all of our nurses in functional medicine, getting to the root cause of these issues. We're bringing in naturopaths and all of these other different modalities. But it's a very affordable buy-in because, and we wanted it to be that way because we want to have an escape route for people to get out. So it's $1,500 to buy in into the protections of our PMA, and that gets them access to our practice management system, to our all of our resources. And like you alluded to earlier, you're talking about, it's like having your own practice in a box. We're giving you everything that you need.
Yeah, that's absolutely amazing. I mean, I think that is the future of medicine, without a doubt. I had no clue this was even happening.
Yeah. It's like I told you, I was telling you kind of when we took the break, felt very, very called to this path. I have asked God a million times, why me? You know, there are a million people who are more qualified to do all of this. Than me. I was certainly, I didn't have the financial provisions to do any of this, to give up my income, all of that. I mean, I'm just a nurse.
So why you? How? What did you hear? Why you?
You know, Well, we all know that God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. I don't know why me still, but it's so interesting to me that when I look back on my life, I feel like things start to make so much more sense. Different things that I've been through, you know, different struggles I've had. And I'm like, okay, I get it now, because I feel like it was preparing me for such a time as this.
Absolutely. I mean, I feel the same way about myself and the same way regarding my faith journey and eventually, you know, creating VaxCalc. I want to work on this forever. And like the big picture of what we're building is something I call informed consent technology. And it's really, it's tech that supports, you know, informed decision making by presenting to people what is normally hidden. It supports interaction, like the chatbot can, you know, interact with people in such a way as to, it can help them understand different points of view. And an example of why that's valuable is that if you know you're going in to talk to your doctor and you're going to have a difficult decision, well, you can role play and practice with it.
Yeah.
So that kind of discussion isn't brand new, and you know what you're going to say and you know what you're going to get hit with. And it's also, the AI-driven chatbots are phenomenal at presenting complex information in a way that's easily understood by different reading levels, different education levels. So if it's talking to someone who has a PhD, it can speak in such a way that's at a much more complex level than, say, if it's speaking to a 20-year-old. Like, for example, my daughter wanted to find information. Her boyfriend was considering getting the HPV vaccine, and she was like, no way, I've got to stop him. But she's really busy, she doesn't have a lot of time, and she's not really deeply versed in vaccine risk or really anything about vaccines or any of that. And it was, you know, she went looking around at various things, and even what VaxCalc had to offer at the time was, it was just, it wasn't that helpful because she couldn't hone in on something easily understood and compelling and quick to share with him. And with AI and a chatbot, you can really get that rapidly. You don't have to go and create like a base of knowledge before you understand enough to speak to someone else.
Yeah, and that's fantastic. That is so necessary, because I have people that come to us all the time, you know, especially moms and new moms, and they're looking for just language or verbiage that they can use that will, you know, provide a compelling argument. For example, we have somebody where I'm in the state of Tennessee. I had a couple reach out, and they were wanting to foster some children, and they will not allow you to foster children in the state of Tennessee unless you are up to date on all of your vaccines, like your MMR and DTaP or whatever. It was just absolutely horrifying, right? So,
yes.
But they're looking for, you know, compelling language and arguments to try to get that restriction removed. And, you know, we want to be able to help them with that. So something like this would be very, you know, because I think we have, we could come up with stuff like that, but it's really time consuming, right? To try to do all this with all of the other things that we're doing. So if we just had something where we could very easily go in there or direct them in there, or we can go in there ourselves and get these bullet points so that we can provide them to parents and get them educated, informed, and really empower them so that they are not feeling so intimidated when they go into these doctor's appointments.
Now that's a really good point. And that's similar to the intent of VaxCalc, where if there's like a little slogan, it would be something like research, understand, take control. Mm-hmm. And that's really the take control part tends to be the hardest because of the intimidation factor in the doctor's office. And so that's actually one of the things we can help our customers with as well. And the people, like you said early on at the beginning, the people we just love and love to serve are the so-called, you know, vaccine hesitant. I mean, that's like a badge of honor to me. You know, another way that I think about it is they're the common sense middle ground. The people that aren't just doing what they're told, they're thinking things through and they're being selective and saying, well, maybe this, but definitely not that.
Right. And people don't think they're educated enough. That's the problem, is that,
right. You know,
and listen, degree does not equate to intelligence. I have been saying this for a long time. I know many nurses that have more knowledge and are more educated than some doctors. Definitely know, I know some moms that are more educated than many nurses, myself included.
Right. And even without the education, I think probably like a fundamental thing for all parents listening to understand is to, and this also goes back to Protecting the Gift and by Gavin DeBecker. Again, he's the guy who's providing RFK Jr. with security right now. And he's been in this field for decades. The one thing he points out in the book is that humans are the only animals in existence that teach one another and their children to cooperate with predators. Instead, we need to develop and learn to respect our gut. And that means even if you don't have like any knowledge at all about vaccines and you go into the doctor's office for a well visit and your gut is telling you, no, I don't really feel comfortable with this. I don't feel ready. I'm nervous. This just doesn't feel right. You know, all you have to do is say either just say no or not today.
Yep.
You know, I need more information. And you can develop this with your children as well. One of the best things from Protecting the Gift that I did with my kids was, when they were like 4, 5, 6, we'd go to a nearby grocery store and we'd play a game. And the game was called, You Can't Find Daddy. Okay, you're lost. You can't find me. So let's just keep holding hands here. And we're going to walk around. And I would ask them to point out someone that you would feel comfortable going up to and asking for help. And then after that, I would, you know, ask, well, why would you feel comfortable? And then you do the opposite. You say, well, let's walk around and tell me someone, show me someone that you wouldn't feel comfortable asking and explain to me why. And what that did over time was encourage them to respect their own gut feelings and to develop them. And I think, like, you know, we all need more of that because you go into the doctor's office and you're practically ordered to go against your gut. And there's so much of that everywhere in life now.
There really is. And that's why, again, I love what we're being able to do. I'm really looking forward to learn more about your model and how we can kind of incorporate that and use that with the clients that we serve, you know, because I understand really well that people, not everybody can really afford to have a nurse go with them to their appointment, but we want to make sure that we're empowering people with as much free information, you know, for our members as we can.
Right.
They are able to advocate and empower them to advocate for themselves. And then we're always there as a safety net and a backup But we've got to be able to encourage people to do this on their own. You know, you talked about a healthcare roundtable, and I think that's fantastic. And that's kind of what we're doing. But I think that the most important participant in that is the patient. They have to start taking accountability for their own health and understand that they are allowed, not just allowed, they're encouraged and allowed to participate in their own healthcare. They're the ones making the decision. It's not, we're not here to dictate care. We're here to be guides. That's all.
No, that's true. And another reason they need a healthcare roundtable, and it would be so valuable to work with what you're offering, is, you know, doctors have they tend to have a lock on most parents and can really intimidate them by threatening to kick them out of their practice if they don't fully vaccinate, which I think is absolutely wrong.
And you know why they do that, correct? I'm sure you know.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Because it lowers their compliance stats.
Yep. Yeah. And doctors are financially incentivized to the tunes of hundreds of thousands of dollars. And many parents don't realize that.
Right.
So that's, I like to try to make that information very well known as well.
No, that's really, really important. And another thing to leave your listeners with is, most people don't realize this, but you know, almost every state in the country has a unofficial alternative vaccine schedule. So, and that's where we teach people to start. So the, you know, you go to the, most doctors, they're insisting on full vaccination according to the ever-growing CDC schedule, which when you consider it is really extreme.
Yes.
And it's the vaccine hesitant people that are the common sense middle ground. And if you look, almost every state has required vaccines for school. And what you can do is you can start with that and tell the doctor, well, the law of this state requires just these, not all of what you're recommending. And it makes it harder for doctors to, you know, intimidate when you start saying words like law and this is what they are requiring.
Yeah. You just have to continue pushing back, like we've been saying, all in this episode. Just you have to push back. It doesn't usually take that much, but you push back, and you'll start to see the result. And what you'll start to see is that, again, that they don't know very much about these vaccines at all.
That's right. And although when
very rudimentary,
you do need to be like a martial artist too, though. When you start pushing back, you do need to be prepared emotionally and mentally that your doctor may kick you out. And that's actually, even though it may really suck at first, it's actually for the good, because you're all not a good fit. And you could also take on the mindset of, well, you know, I might actually fire my own doctor.
Yep. I fired every one of my doctors during COVID. Every one of them. They all recommended that I get the vaccine. And I have multiple autoimmune conditions, which I now very strongly believe is tied to the hepatitis B series that I had to get when I started nursing.
Wow.
In healthcare. I started in healthcare when I was 19 years old. And I ended up with all of these autoimmune conditions about 6 months later. And I never really connected the dots until recently. I was like, hey, I bet that's what that was.
Yeah, have you tried anything like the Wim Hof method? Stuff for that?
Breathing? Yeah. So
breathing in the ice bath?
Yes. I actually just did that. I went on a trip to Colombia and we did the Wim Hof and we did the ice bath. So it's not anything I had doing ongoing, but it was an experience. I would like to say, and I'm very proud of this. I was the last one out of the ice bath. I did 10 minutes, which is
10 minutes?
10 minutes.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah. It was like the longest that, like, by law, they were like, you have to get out.
Wow.
But
okay,
I'm going to be the last one out.
That's pretty amazing, because I've been digging into that method for a while now, and there's a lot of good research on its impacts with autoimmune issues.
Yeah, I'm learning so much over these last, few years, when I really opened my mind to different, again, I was a very allopathically trained nurse in healthcare for 27 years now. And, when I came out, I was like, wait, I was questioning everything. Everything that I had ever learned. So I knew, that I was going to have to learn how to nurse from a different perspective, which is why I chose to get trained and certified in functional medicine. And, that's been so amazing. And the things that I've learned and that I'm able to share with patients and clients and my listeners, you know, has been amazing. Because it's not just about giving a prescription or a pill. That's all that they do in the allopathic and Western medicine. You know, we have to let them shine where they do, which is like trauma and emergency medicine. But beyond that, you know, we really have to go a different route.
No, that's a really good point. And also, you know, when everyone is doing only the same thing, like the same healthcare practices, or everyone's taking all the same vaccines, I mean, that's going to create big vulnerabilities, big health vulnerabilities across the population, supply chain vulnerabilities. I mean, it's actually quite dangerous. You know, what we really need is really what you're offering is diversity in healthcare.
Yeah, everything is individualized. You know, people will ask me, well, what do you do for this? Well, I can't tell you, because it's going to be based on, it's like symptom driven. It's going to be based on what's going on with that particular client. And everything is customized. All of our plans and everything is customized to their unique and specific needs. There's right. No two plans that will be the same.
Well, it sounds like we're doing a very similar thing, just from different perspectives. Like, you know, you're providing the healthcare services, we're providing information and technology to create a happier, healthier, and more resilient world.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're definitely on the same parallel track. So where are you located?
I am in Northern Virginia, Annandale specifically. We're about 10 minutes south of DC. And okay. I know you're in Tennessee. I've been hearing a lot of good things about Tennessee as a great place to be free.
It is. It's a great state. I'm actually thinking I'm trying to move to Texas. I'm really working hard at being a Texan here, hopefully soon. But it is a great state, Tennessee. I've been here 20 years. I'm originally from Boston, Massachusetts, which is not the freest state to live in.
No.
But yeah, Tennessee has been really, really good to me, and I love it here. But I mentioned that because we do have this incredible event that's coming up in Georgia, Buford, Georgia, next month. So if that's something that you're interested in, we'd love to have you come out and kind of check it out. We can send you some more information on that if you'd like.
Oh, absolutely. That would be fantastic. Thank you. I'd love to see more about that.
Yeah, awesome. I'll make sure we get that to you. But, God, I can't believe we're out of time already. This is such a great conversation. Why don't you tell my listeners where they can find your website and join your email list?
Thank you so much. Yeah, so if you go to vaxcalc.org, that's VAXCALC.org, and just scroll down. At the top, you'll just see my story. And scroll down a little bit, you can't miss invitations to join the email list. Please join the list and stay in touch. And we're having all kinds of great new things rolling out this year, including an AI-driven chatbot, new subscription plans, all kinds of fantastic stuff. And when you join the email list, within 8 hours, you will get a free invite to our always free and free in terms of no cost and always free in terms of freedom, private online community for vaccine choice people.
That's amazing. And we will make sure that we link all of this in the show notes that will accompany this episode once it goes to podcast. Chris Downey, thank you so much for being here.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. That's all the time that we have for today, friends. But remember, we are here on the air 5 days a week, Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern. You can also catch our encore at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Please be sure to tune in and listen to myself and my amazing sister nurses. As we walk you through all of these hot topics, we will empower you with information and education. We will advocate and we will stand in the gap for you because we are nurses and this is what we do. I'm your host, Nurse Kimberly Overton, and you can find me here every Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern. Until next time, be safe, be well, and God bless. Remember that we are in a war for truth. We are putting out a bounty on the real misinformation and exposing the purveyors of propaganda. No topic is off limits as we shine our lights and expose the darkness.
It's time.